All right, we have a lot to talk about, so I need to go quickly. Last week, we talked about what the conscience is. Today, we're going to talk about chapter two, which is how do we define the conscience. We actually have two sessions. I'm going to do the first part, which will be the main, and then Dr. Erickson is going to do the second part right before growth groups. We have two parts to this chapter, so I'm going to do most of the material, and you probably will do a little more discussion time during that, and then we'll have growth groups. So actually, growth group leaders, we're not going to meet afterwards, chapel, like we were planning. We'll meet after the second one, and it'll be after Spirit Week, and to go over the paper and stuff like that, right? So how do we define it? And then we have the other ones that we're going to get to later in the study. So I encourage you to think. So I have a couple things from Scripture. So we're going to read these here. So Paul has a perspective on his conscience, and this is what he said in Acts when he was talking to his to the Jews there, the Sanhedrin, and he says, as he looked earnestly at the council, Paul said, and so he is talking to people who are saying, you are promoting a false gospel, you are wrong, and they were accusing him of ruining Judaism, and in their minds, what was the worship of the true God. And Paul said this, and don't miss what he said. He says, men, brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And you know what was interesting? Do you know what Paul did by following his conscience before he was saved? You know what he did? Anyone know what Paul did when he was following his conscience? What did he do? Yes. He killed Christians. That's what his conscience said was right to do, and he obeyed it completely. He said, because these people are, and that's what he said, I did it in ignorance. My conscience thought that was the right thing to do, but I followed it. And he says, I have done that from this day on. I cannot say that I have followed my conscience to this day perfectly. Isn't that an amazing concept? So just let that sit on there. This is another passage that he said, and this is in Acts 24. He says, herein do I actually, two different versions. King James says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. ESV says, so I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. So we sang about God's sacrifice on the cross, how deep the Father's love, and you think of that cross, that sacrifice, and then there's a day when we stand before him, right, in heaven. So in between that moment and the day you stand before the Lord, how do we live in between those moments? That's what we're talking about here with your conscience. So God's word, it's not just about being saved and then I'll be in heaven with God and it doesn't matter what happens in between. It does matter what happens in between, and that's why we're talking about it. How do we live as Christians effectively? Does he tell us anything? And he does in his word. So when you guys get together in your growth groups, we're going to give you four other scriptures, which I'm not going to take the time to go over here. And I want you to discuss those four scriptures, because there are 30 different scriptures in the New Testament which use the word or an equivalent of conscience. We're not going to read all of those, but I picked four of them that I want you to discuss in your group. And growth group leaders, you'll get those passages ahead of time so you can read them and we can talk about them. But this is, I want to lay the foundation here that Paul gives a great example for us. Why was this recorded in Scripture if it wasn't for our admonition, right? That we should say, that's the kind of life we should be striving to have, is to live before God with a conscience void of offense, that's King James, or I take pains to have a clean conscience, not just before God, but before men. God, sometimes, you know, God knows everything about us, obviously. And so that one, we kind of say, if we're really honest with ourselves, we know we don't have a clean conscience before God. But it's hard to even have a clean conscience before men, right? That I know I haven't offended anybody, and that I go to them, and that's why we go to a brother and say, hey, I could tell there's something between us, and I just want to make sure I haven't done something to offend you. because our relationship is more important than that. And we were unified in the body of Christ, and I go to them. And then, so my conscience is clean that I haven't done anything that maybe has bothered them or has hurt them in some way. That's what it means, having a clean conscience before men. So let's talk about what is the conscience and define. So do you know what this picture is? It's kind of grayed out. This is a very famous picture. Do you know what it is of? Does anyone know what that picture is of? What is it of? Yes. So this is in Rome. This is the catacombs. What's hidden actually here in the white is a lion. Can you see that lion there? So we kind of picked a very evil mascot for our school, but I guess, you know, God made that lion. So, but they would use lions, and they would use them in Rome, and I've been there, and they would kill Christians back in the day. So here's my question to you. This is a very sobering question. Is there anything that you would be willing to die for in order to have a clean conscience? You know, that's a very heavy question, isn't it? These Christians said, I will not deny God, because if I deny God, I know my conscience will be guilty, and so I cannot do that. I have to say, no, Jesus is Lord. I'm not going to say Nero is Lord. I have to. My conscience will not let me say. And a lot of people's like, well, just say it. You know in your heart. You know that he's not really. Just say it so you don't get killed, right? That's what a lot of people probably did. But these Christians said, no, my conscience and having a clean conscience is so important to me, I will go to the Colosseum and I will give, they give me lots of opportunities to recant, but I will not go back because my conscience won't let me do it. So I'm asking you, is there anything that your conscience is there anything you would die for instead of violating your conscience? That's how important we're talking about this. Interesting, right? So every Christian that has been a martyr did it because they said, no, I will not deny my God. And I know if I deny God, my conscience will bother me. And nobody else would know. Maybe you're in a prison cell all alone and only the guards will know, right? But they say, no, my conscience will know and I'm not going to deny. That's the faith. That's the faith that we hold precious, that you, that we preach and we talk about and we freely go about and discuss it here. This is the faith that people have died for. So I'm going to show you two other pictures here. This was Stephen, right? He could have denied, but they stoned him because he was a Christian. He said, I'm not going to. I have an opportunity to avoid this death, this painful death, but I'm not going to because my conscience is more important and I want to have a clean conscience before God that I have done what is right, right? Here's another picture you may not know. Do you know what that is of? What's that picture of? What is it?
Holocaust.
These are actually kids about your age that were in prison, and there were Germans who claimed to know Christ, actually some of them, not all of them, but there were some, that actually put these kids in carts and loaded them down and put them into the showers and other things and murdered them. And there were some who said, my conscience will not let me murder another person. I cannot do that. So this is not that long ago. This is the era of some of our grandfathers and of when this happened. So this is not just an ancient thing that we're talking about, and more things happen to this day. We can talk about abortion and other things. So it's sobering, and it's not just an academic exercise that we need to do. Yes, we need to think about it, and we're going to talk about it that way. But I want us to think about your conscience. How do we define it? How do we make sure that we are grounded? Because we want to stand before God with a clean conscience, right? That's what God's called us to do. And how do we live between our salvation and when we go stand before the Lord? So a couple things. So this is the definition that we're going to use as a working definition. It's straight out of the book. Your conscience is your consciousness of what you believe is right and wrong. So we could talk about this in your growth groups. You have more time. I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to go quickly. It's your consciousness. Are you aware of what you believe is right and wrong? That's why really young kids, they're not thinking in these abstract terms too much. They just, I want the toy, I grab it, and I don't think about what I just did, right? But as God grows you and as you grow older, you're able to be aware of what is right and wrong, and that's a whole interesting study. So the second line here is what you believe. And we talked about this a little bit, and we're going to talk more about it. Is it possible for you to believe something incorrectly? Is it possible? Yes. Did the Apostle Paul have a misguided view of what was right and wrong according to God? Yes. We can have this can be a problem. So that's why it's not black and white, because some of us cannot be aligned with God's word. But it comes down to what is right and wrong. And so you live in a world, don't let people tell you that, oh, there is no right and wrong. They believe it's right and wrong. You know how I can prove it to you? If somebody says, I don't believe there's any such thing as right and wrong, just punch them in the face. They will immediately believe that was not right, what you did, right? So we can play these silly games, but we borrow morality from God, because God said there are some things that are right and please me, and there are some things that are wrong and don't please me. And so he's given us his word to do it. So actually, don't punch anybody in the face. I'm joking about that. Steal their wallet. That would be the thing. If you stole their wallet, then you're like, well, there's no right and wrong, right? Didn't you tell me there's no right and wrong? So we don't do that. Okay, there's a couple things, and we're going to talk about this. So it can do two things. I'm going to talk about what can the conscience do and what can the conscience be. And I'm going to go quickly. These are in the book. But it can look forward and it can look backward. So as a guide, the conscience can do what it does. It's a guide to you. It tells you you want to punch the guy in the face. But if you do punch him in the face, you're going to feel bad about it. And you will know that you were not a good example. So don't do it. And so you're wanting to. So you're on the soccer field. The guy calls you ugly names. He calls your mom ugly names. He calls your sister ugly names. And you want to say something about him, right? Guys, I know how this is. And you're coming up with a really great comeback. And the guide says, warns you, don't do it. Don't do it. And hopefully there's some scripture. The soft answer turns away wrath. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. You know, some scriptures like that will come to mind. And he warns you not to do something. Right? Or it says you walk by, my example before, there's a piece of trash on the ground, and you're like, you should pick that up. You know, I see it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It makes this place, and there's a way I can bless our school, and I'm just going to pick it up and throw in the trash, right? So it tells us that. It also, what else does the conscience do? It's like a witness or a judge, like a witness in a courtroom, saying, you were guilty, 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 right? You guys, you know what that is, a judge. It says, accuses you, and it looks back on what you did. You walked past that piece of trash, or you said the same ugly thing back to the guy on the soccer field, and your conscience says, you big hypocrite, you claim to be a Christian, and you did that to that guy, he's probably not even saved. And so after the fact, it accuses you, right? How many of you all had this happen to you, right? We've all probably had that, right? Okay. So these are the two things that a conscience can do. We're going to have you discuss this in your... So just be aware of that. It makes sense. God gave it to us. It's a gift for us. So there are some things your conscience can be as well. And I'm going to list a bunch of them. These come from Scripture. These words actually are straight from those 30 verses that came out of Scripture. We're not going to take time to read all of them. But in a positive sense, if your conscience is... You can have a good conscience. Like Paul said, I have a clean conscience. What does that look like? It can be good. It's described as good. It can be blameless. My conscience is blameless before men and before God. I have a clear conscience. I have a clean conscience. I have my conscience cleansed from evil works, right? So God convicts us and says, you need to stop doing it. You need to stop watching that stuff. Nobody knows you're watching it, but God knows you're watching it. And it's killing your Christian walk. So you need to clean your conscience and say, I'm going to come clean and I'm going to confess what I've done. And I did it. I've had to confess things over the years. I stole a car, a plastic car, from a store once. I paused. All right. I did. I stole a car and I had to go back to the store owner and confess what I did. You know, I was 9 or something like that. But regardless, I knew it was wrong and I had to hide. And that's a long whole story. So we all have to go back and get a clean conscience. And now I feel, okay, I want to make it right. And this is a thing about human nature. On the negative side, you can have things. You can have a conscience that is weak, that is not as sensitive as it should be. You have a conscience that is wounded. You can have a conscience that's oversensitive. You can have a conscience that's defiled, and you keep doing wrong, and you keep doing stuff, and you just ignore it. And you just turn it off. We had our smoke alarm go off this morning. The battery went out. Don't you love that when that goes out and it beep you know, like every 30 seconds, beep, that was going off at 5 a.m. this morning. So thank you for the illustration, Lord, because it fits right here perfectly. So what I could do with a fire alarm is say, oh, beep, this thing keeps beeping at me. So what am I going to do with it? Out the window, right? There, fix that problem. Did I fix the problem? I stopped the conscience, beep, beep, beep. But now I'm susceptible to getting burned up at night because the house catches on fire and I have nothing to tell me, right? So God, that conscience, that fire alarm is a gift. And the reason it's beeping, it's telling you something. You should take action. And I'm going to replace the batteries today. So thank you. It can have a guilty conscience. You all know what that is. Is I know I've done wrong. I've had an evil conscience. I know it's telling me and the judge is telling me guilty, guilty, guilty. But nobody else knows. But in my heart, I know. And I can have a seared conscience. This is where if you ever burned yourself, that skin, you lose the sensation on that skin, right? It's almost like numb. Like you can't feel it. You can poke it. Don't even feel it. So sometimes we think, here's a question for you. You know what? I chose these colors because all of our colors, right? Yeah, cool, right? If you had the opportunity to not feel any pain, would you take it? It's like, I can take bullets. I can take like a superhero, and that's why it looks like, you know, we think of superhero, I don't feel any pain, right? And I can keep doing whatever I'm doing, and I won't stop. I don't have any pain. It's like I'm a tough guy, right? I don't feel pain. I eat pain for breakfast. That's the kind of idea. Well, you know there is such a thing, right? But it's not a superhero. You know what it's called? No. The sensation of not having pain is called leprosy. Yeah, yes. So we think this is what we want, and when we silence our conscience, we say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen. And we numb the nerves. So I'm going to show you a picture of leprosy, so don't get grossed out. But this is what happens. You lose digits because you don't feel them. And the nerve ends, and so the blood stops going, and you lose digits, and it starts, you lose your fingers. That's what leprosy is. And look what the main symptoms are. That you have painless wounds or burns on the hands and feet. You don't feel the pain. And this is what we don't want to happen to our conscience. I'm going to have you guys discuss that when you go to your growth groups. So when you in a couple of weeks after Spirit Week, we're going to talk about more. So what is the conscience? It is your consciousness of what you believe is right and wrong. So this will be in next couple chapters as we talk more. We're going to discuss, well, how do you adjust what you believe? Or should you adjust ever you believe? And how do we know what is right and wrong? Those two aspects are very interesting, and it's your awareness of it. And so you can use music, you can use media, you can things to drown out so you're not aware of it. I don't think about it. I don't want to think about anything. But in your heart of hearts, you know that there's something that you should follow, and it's God's word. Okay, so we're going to close in prayer. You guys will be dismissed in a second when I close in prayer. But this is great talk for us. Growth group leaders, I have if you want to stay behind, I'm going to flash up on the screen the card that we're going to use next time. So if you want to look at those verses for the discussion, for your, you can do that, but we won't stay behind and have a long discussion. We'll wait for that for after Dr. E's thing, all right? So remember, you're going to your team rooms, right? And then recess. I love that. That's so awesome. Recess shouldn't be just for little kids. We should have a little recess. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for our students and for this study. Thank you for just the ability we have to worship you freely. We're not in the time of Rome where we have to hide and maybe give our lives because the government is hunting us down. Lord, we have so many blessings, and we just take it for granted. So help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to reject the gift that you've given us of a conscience. Help us to work hard, to take pains to have a clean conscience. It's going to take work, but I pray that we would each be committed to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a great lunch. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.